Thankful for the prayer that Brother Dwayne offered on our behalf. Would ask that you continue to pray for me and for yourselves that the Lord would bless us today and help us in our journey through life. And isn't that what we always want is help? We always want help. We always need help. And there's no one better to find help from than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our hope and our help. And when we understand that He will never leave us nor forsake us, we can boldly say that the Lord is our helper in time of need. I need the Lord's help this morning. Pray that you would continue to pray, and I know you do too, and we need the Lord's help every day that we live. And I have a subject on my mind that's very broad, and there are many aspects of the subject, and the subject is faith. And you know, have you ever considered how faithful a person you are? Are you faithful? You know, a lot of people would say they're faithful, but are we really faithful? How much faith do we have? Has our faith increased over the years? I think the Bible teaches that your faith can increase. But it also teaches us that we can draw back unto perdition. I mean, to ruin and to destruction and to problems in our life. And I think about Paul's words. And you know, Paul was an astute man. He was very affluent. Especially when he was known as Saul of Tarsus, he was a man that was very religious. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. His father was a Pharisee. He learned at the feet of Gamaliel, the instructor of the law. He was very knowledgeable of the law. He didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ when he was under the name of Saul of Tarsus. But we know that when he began to go out with the orders to put children and men and women in prison and also to have them put to death, that the Lord intervened in his travels. He struck him down on the road to Damascus. And from that point on, there was a change that took place in Paul's life. And the first thing he said was, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" We know the story, and that's not my subject this morning, but Jesus told Ananias, "I must show him what great things he must suffer for my name, for my name's sake." Paul was a faithful man. And as we journey in life, I'm sure that if you're like me, you can look back at individuals who you consider to be very faithful. Paul made a statement in 2 Timothy, chapter 4. This was a time that Paul's life was coming to an end. His writings were coming to a close. And he made a statement that I think we should consider in our own lives. He said, "I have fought a good fight." You know, we're all fighting a fight of some kind. Are we fighting a good fight? Are we fighting a bad fight? And I'll try to explain what that good fight is. But we're fighting a fight. The greatest fight that we're fighting is an internal fight. It's between the flesh and the spirit. The flesh and the spirit are contrary one to another. So there's an internal war going on, if you would. There's a fight. There's things within each of us that do not agree. Our flesh never agrees with the spirit. It never loved God. It never desired God. Apart from the Spirit of God that dwells in every child of God, the flesh wants nothing to do with God. And I'll tell you, it's a fight. To do the right thing, to do what Paul said here, it's a fight. You know, we can go to Galatians, and we may run over there in just a minute, but we can go over there and find out what the fruit of the Spirit is and what the fruit of the flesh is. And if you don't think that's a battle, think again, it's a fight. Every one of us have this fight going on and raging within us to do the right thing. Sometimes it's hard. You know, life isn't easy. I know that. I know from my own experience. To do the right thing sometimes is not easy. We're constantly being harassed by our own flesh, you might say. You know, John told us over in 1 John, he says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." And he goes on to explain what is in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And these are not of the Father. But these are the things that we fight with. We battle with every day of our life. And sometimes they cause us to draw back from God. You know, we either yield to the flesh or we yield to the Spirit. I mean, it's just that simple. Let me get a couple verses out of Galatians chapter 5 that bring this point forward. I mean, you know, it says that the flesh and the Spirit are contrary one to the other. What the flesh wants, the Spirit has no use for. Think about that. But yet again, the flesh is a powerful thing that still clothes the Spirit. It's called the tabernacle in which the Spirit of God dwells. And it's a battleground. It's something that we have to fight. It hinders our faith from time to time. And sometimes it hinders folks' faith. And they draw back to, and the word perdition just means to ruin and loss, to trouble in life. And sometimes we want to give up that fight. You know, we're told in Galatians chapter 6, and let us not be weary in well-doing. That word weary means we're going to get tired, and it's going to toil upon us, T-O-I-L. I mean, I want you to know life's not easy. We raise our children. We have jobs. We struggle out here to make ends meet. And sometimes the fight just becomes too much, and we yield to the flesh. And we just give up. We just throw in the towel. It's an easy thing to do. You know, I've thought about this subject numerous times about faith. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. Now, if you study Paul from the time he had his experience on the road to Damascus and until we find his words in 2 Timothy chapter 4, you're going to find that Paul's life was not a life of luxury. I mean, he was beaten. He was stoned. He was put in prison. I mean, if it was ever been easy for somebody to throw in the towel and to forsake the faith of God, it would have been Paul. And I believe those lessons are given to us in the Word of God because they're real to every child of God. They're something we battle every day. Our faith. How strong is our faith? You know, Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 8, O ye of little faith. You know, he was down in the ship, fast asleep in the great storms of life. And actually, these were true storms come up on the ocean where the ship was. And it was, water was coming into the ship, and it was rocking and swaying. And they run down there and said, Master, we perish. Here, the creator of the heavens and the earth was taking rest inside this boat, and yet the disciples were of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. Sometimes that's us, is it not? How little faith do we have sometimes in the God that we serve? He said, I fought the good fight. The good fight is a fight where it says, notice what it says up here in this I say, let's get verse 15 in Galatians 5. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That directly speaks to this raging war and this fight that is going on. When we yield to the Spirit, I believe we're fighting the good fight. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's hard. There's nothing easy about it. We're filled with a life of distractions, a life of problems. Unfortunately, that's the way life is. A little bit later, if we get there, we'll look over in Hebrews chapter 11, known as the roll call of faith or the hall of faith. We're going to find that many of those men, if not all of them, men and women, many of them were like us. Some of them seen God, but some of them didn't. They never saw God, but they felt his revelations, his self-revelation in their life, and they were faithful unto his cause, in spite of the adversity they faced or the afflictions they encountered. You know, Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulations. Some of those tribulations are just things that are out of our control. Matter of fact, a lot of them are. We pray for the elderly this morning, and getting older is something we can't stop. And the good things that come with getting older sometimes are not so good. We lose things that we once had. Limitations come in our lives, and we all know that. But I can look even in this congregation today and I can see men who are faithful, women who are faithful that have come regardless of the circumstances of life. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have kept my course. I have finished my course. He said, I've completed my course. Every one of us have a course, a journey in this life. And it's completed when we close our eyes in death and open them in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I loved what Brother Gale said last week about when he was here and he preached and he talked about the doctrine of election and how that many of God's people who are not in the church will be in heaven. And that's a truth. That's something that we old Baptists believe, that we believe that we ought to go to church and we ought to worship God and we ought to pray to God and we ought to all do all the things that God said. But I tell you, we know for a certainty that's not what gets you to heaven. And I'm thankful for that, because if it were that way, heaven would be, it wouldn't be a lot of folks there, at least at given times in life. But it's not based upon anything you and I have done. It's based upon the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can forever be thankful for that. But Paul said, I've completed my course. We all have a course. We all have a journey. It began when you were born and natural life came into your body. The course started. And that course will end when you die. But notice what he said. I have kept the faith. That word kept means guarded. I have guarded the faith. You go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and it will list out to you the difficulties that Paul had. And I know many people believe that Paul was a special man. And he was, because God called him. But you know, if you're here, it's because God called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You're just as special to God as Paul was. Some people think that Paul done miraculous things that you couldn't do. But Paul made one statement that you and I can make just as he did. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. Paul didn't believe that he could endure the afflictions and the adversity that he endured based upon his strength. It was only on the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I've been studying on faith the last couple of days, and then this verse came to me this morning. It said, I have fought the good fight. You know, men, you know, women, you know, brothers and sisters of old, that can you can sit here today and say, they fought the good fight. They done the best they could do, and they kept the faith until their dying hour. And I can name them from this church, from churches I was in when I grew up when I was a kid. They kept the faith. They never wavered. You know, that is a chore. It's a challenge. It's a fight. That's why Paul said, I've kept the good fight. He said, I fought the good fight. And it's a fight to maintain that. It's a fight to live up to serve the Lord and make him the preeminence in your life. It's a challenge for me. I spent probably half of my life not giving any regard to that. But I made a promise to God, and I hope I can keep it. You know, I'm not even sure I can keep the promises I make. You know, we're not like God. He is faithful unto the end. He cannot lie. His promises are true, and you and I can count on them. But it is my hope that I'll be faithful until I'm called home and hopefully be with the Lord. But it's a fight. You know, Satan's not only out there to help us along, but that internal warfare, that raging warfare, goes on inside of us as long as we live. As long as we live. We're tempted by Satan because of this warfare, and oftentimes, God's children yield to the flesh. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. How do you feel about your fight? Have you fought a good fight? I tell you what. Just doing the best you can is fighting the good fight. Just honoring God first and foremost every day in your life and doing what the Lord would have you to do, that's fighting the good fight. It really is. Notice what it says here in Galatians. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, that sounds confusing to somebody, but the last phrase there says that you cannot do the things that you would. What it literally means is, in this contrast of the spirit and the flesh, if you're yielding to the flesh, you cannot do anything to please the spirit, to please God. And if you're yielding to the spirit, your flesh will never be pleased. Neither will Satan. If you don't think that's a fight and a warfare, think again. It is. If I don't believe there's one of us here that could not admit what great a fight that is, what a raging war that is going on within us. You know, think about Paul. He said, I have fought the good fight. He didn't fight a bad fight. A bad fight's not making any effort to yield to the Spirit, I believe, because many of God's children have the Spirit of God with them in them, and they yield to the flesh. It's an easy thing to do. But Paul, he fought. He fought those things. You and I will have to fight them if we don't allow them to overcome us in life. We'll have to fight against them because temptations are real. Things in this life are real, and even ourself, I mean, our old flesh is always telling us, don't do that, don't do this, don't give in. You know, you deserve it. You earned it. You ought to have it. I mean, this little mind, this little devil in us, you might say, is always telling us those kind of things. It doesn't matter what you do. God doesn't care. You know, that happened to Eve, did it not? You know, when Satan or that old, when Satan beguiled Eve, he said, you won't surely die. You'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. And she believed his lie. He's there tempting us in the same way, day in and day out. You deserve this. You've earned it. You've got the right to it. You know, you ought to be ahead of this fella, or you ought to be ahead of this person, or you ought to be lifted up and looked upon different than others. You have to fight against those things. You have to fight to stay humble in life. Paul fought a good fight. And I would hope that every one of us, when we close our eyes, when we come down to the end of our way, we can say the same thing. No, when we get older, we'll not be able to do the things we once did. When Solomon said, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days come not, or the years draw nigh. He's talking about the years of old age. We're all going to get old, and we're all going to begin to fail in one place or the other. I'm already failing in my eyesight, and maybe a lot of other places that I don't recognize. You know, my hearing may be going, and you don't. A lot of people don't recognize their hearing's going, but you have to yell at somebody to get them to listen to you. Maybe your hearing is going. But these faculties of our body begin to fade with age. They do. It's a fight. It's a fight to keep on keeping on. When Paul said in Galatians 6, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season thou shalt reap if you faint not. That literally means if you faint not, if you keep on keeping on. In other words, when the going gets tough, the tough keep going, I guess, as the old saying is. It is. It's Paul just sits here and tells us that there's nothing in this life that's going to be easy. That it's always going to be a fight. And the greatest fight goes on inside of you. You know, sometimes we want to blame Satan, and he is there to tempt us. To tempt us along, but the thought begins here. Are you of great faith? Or are you of little faith? Oh, ye of little faith. I believe we need to ask ourselves those questions as we go through life. Paul said, I have finished my course. He's completed it. He was about ready to die and give up his life. He knew he was going to die in short order. You can read the remaining part of 1 Timothy chapter 4, and you know his days are drawing very nigh. But he said, and he didn't say this in a way of arrogance. He didn't say it in a way of gloating or boasting. He said, I've fought the good fight. I have fought the good fight. He said, I have finished my course. I've completed it. My life on this earth is at hand. And he says, and I've kept the faith. I hope every one of us can say that. No, there ain't a one of us that have done the best that we could do. But you know, I think about the church today, and I think about faithfulness. I think about a formation of jets flying in over the war, you know, in a war, or a flock of birds flying in formation. And as they continue to fly, you'll see one of them peel off to the left and one of them peel off to the right. And after a period of time, there's just a few of them out front going into this battle. And because of the battle, some of them are destroyed. And yet there seems to be no planes or birds to fulfill that formation, at least at the present time. You know, that's what happens to God's people sometimes. The going's tough. The fight is hard. And one by one, slowly by slowly, you see them peel away. And I've been seeing this take place over the course of my life in the church. But I can attest, and I can see some sitting here this very day who unto this day have kept the faith. They fought a good fight, because the fight was no different for any of us that are here or not here. It's a fight for every one of us. Our flesh is fighting against our spirit every day. Satan is helping us with those thoughts. You're too tired. You're too weak. You need to go do this. Whatever it is that takes us away from serving the Lord. Whatever it is that draws us away from keeping the faith. You know, sometimes we just become spiritually cold. And we see that song about being dead and our hearts being cold in 581. I want you to know that Paul had no easy road. And I don't think the Bible tells us that any one of us will have an easy road. We're all going to encounter days such as Paul encountered. We're going to encounter days that we're not as spiritually high and zealous as we once was, or that we may be down the road. That's the roller coaster of life that we live. The things that are going on today are not new. They've happened to God's people in times past, and unfortunately they happen to God's people going forward. But Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. What's happening today is not new. It's something that has already come to pass in past times. But I ask you, is it your hope and your desire that you can say like Paul did, I fought the good fight. I've done the best I could. I've fought hard to not yield to my flesh and do what the Lord would have me to do. Because I tell you, that's the raging battle that you will be contested with every day that you live. You know, Satan will get on board. And when we begin to have breaches in our walls, like Nehemiah talked about Israel, and the walls, the gates be tore down, when we have those thoughts and of our own flesh, Satan will enter in and he will commend us and he will help us along our way, just as he did Abe. No, you will not surely die. You'll be a god. You'll know good and evil. And she believed the lie, and you know where we are today. We're all sinners because of the sin nature that's been passed down to us from Adam and Eve. So the fight is real, and the fight is hard. I think about reasons that people slack on the faith. Listen, there's so much to be said on this, I'll never get to it all this morning. You know, when you think about the Hall of Faith over in Rome, Hebrews chapter 11, some people call that chapter the Roll Call of Faith. I call it the Hall of Faith, not the Hall of Fame. You know, we're all familiar with this so-called Hall of Fame, and we see it in almost all sports, and people are given awards for these tremendous things that they've done, the accolades that they've accomplished in life, and these great things that God's given them. They're lifted up on high. But I'm going to tell you, the men that are spoken of and the women in Hebrews chapter 11 have nothing to boast about. They had no glory to take on themselves. We begin in chronological order with the first three being Abel and Enoch and Noah. Do you know that those three men never saw God with the naked eye? And yet they were faithful unto God regardless of the adversity and the affliction that they underwent. They kept the faith. They seen the Lord as we ought to see the Lord, through an eye of faith. You know, none of us have seen the Lord, I don't believe, with the naked eye, but it's through an eye of faith that we see the Lord. Now, the Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. Notice what it says in the 38th verse of Hebrews chapter 10. Now, the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. I want you to understand something here. That doesn't say you'll lose your eternal life. But he says, my soul will have no pleasure in him. Chapter 10 and verse 23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Hold fast. That means to hold on to it and not let go of it. Without wavering. What does it mean to waver? It means to draw back, to fall away. The Bible speaks of that as apostasy at some times. It speaks of throwing in the towel. You know, Paul could have fought a bad fight. He could have yielded to the flesh. He could have finished his course and not kept the faith. You see, these writings were written aforetime for our learning. They were examples of things that you and I will undergo, just like those patriarchs of old. And these are to encourage us to keep on keeping on, to keep the faith, to keep the faith, to fight the good fight, understanding that the battle is real and it's hard and there's nothing easy about it. When you're tempted to do something you ought not to do and put something before the Lord, fight against it. I ain't going to tell you it's going to be easy. Fight against it. It's a fight. If you don't think it is, examine yourselves and think about life, how it is. We are tempted of our own lust, it says in James chapter 1. We're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. And that's where Satan comes in to, like a cheerleader, to help us on, to cheer us on, to do the wrong thing, to do something that wouldn't please God. If he can get you to take your eyes off the Lord and do something that doesn't please the Lord, he's won a little battle. How many little battles has Satan won throughout life? I'm just thankful he hadn't won the great battle, the war. He's lost that victory at the cross. Jesus Christ was victorious over death and over sin. But as we live and journey in life, that's what we're concerned about today. Paul had a journey. He had a course to finish, to complete, just as you and I do. And when he got to the end of his way, he said, I've kept the faith. I think that's the best any of us can do, to keep the faith and not to peel off one here and one there. And we've seen that happen time and time again. Sometimes it's hard to keep the faith. He says that faith is something that not everyone has. Now, I want to get back, and there's so much to say about faith. Paul kept the faith. He was faithful unto the end. But where did you get your faith? Does anyone know? Were you born with it? Well, there's two thoughts there. The Bible says, Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, not all men have faith. But you've got to consider the faith that's under consideration. It's faith in God. I believe all men do have faith in something. The definition for faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. There's a lot of people who are not God's children who have faith in someone or something. They have faith in science. They have faith in government. They have faith in the king or the leader, or faith in themselves, or faith in another person. I mean, there's all kinds of things out here in life to have faith in, to have trust and confidence in. But when you understand the Bible as we understand it, as Primitive Baptists, you'll understand the Bible is only written to those who have the measure of faith. Notice in Romans 12, verse 3, it says, for I say through the grace that is given unto given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. That means to be humble, not to be lifted up and think you're really something else, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You know, faith is not something that you're born with, a faith that you can believe in God. And this is the great fallacy that is among most Christians. Is a lack of understanding this great truth. You know, when you read Romans chapter 9 and Romans 11, 10 and 11, the theme there is election. Brother Gale preached so admirably on this subject last week. He used a verse that many take out of context. He says in verse 13 of chapter 10, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I've heard that voiced among Christians all over. And what they're saying is, if you'll just call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Well, there's something to consider there. First of all, you will be saved. But the Bible tells us that God's deliverances are not only from death and trespasses and sins to eternal life, but also for his children, they're delivered here in time. We're told in Psalms 34 that the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. God delivers us not only from this earth to heaven, but he'll deliver you time and time again in this life. The righteous cry. Not people who believe they're righteous of themselves. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. We were made righteous, clothed in righteousness by God himself. And when the righteous cry, the Lord hears. And he delivers them out of all their troubles. Now you may say, I had a trouble yesterday and I'm not delivered out of it today. But I tell you, be faithful. Keep the faith. God will deliver you. He will get you through it. God will either deliver you or he'll give you the grace necessary to get through it. But God will take care of it. But I encourage you to keep the faith, to continue on. He says here, for whosoever shall call on the Lord. Who calls on the Lord? Does anybody, does the Adamic world, all of Adam's race call on the Lord? Do they have the ability to call on the Lord? That's where the misunderstanding comes. No one void of the Spirit of God will ever call upon the Lord. Jesus made it clear to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't see it, you can't hear it, and you'll never desire it. That verse is as simple as it gets. The fifth verse of John chapter 3 says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, and unless a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What does that word water mean? The washing in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. He hath saved us by what? The washing of regeneration. When you were regenerated and born of the Spirit of God, you were washed in the blood of the Lamb. And now you have a great hope dwelling within you. It doesn't mean that you know all things. But you now can call upon the Lord, and the Lord will hear your cry, and the Lord will deliver you. You see, those who have no spiritual life will never call upon the Lord. That's the fallacy among Christians. They won't. They won't call upon the Lord. You get down to the 17th verse where I was going, and people will use this one. In the 10th chapter, something that Brother Gale said, you need to understand who's speaking and who's talking. These are two different people, not Paul. The question marks that are asked. So then, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Well, people say, there it is. Call upon the name of the Lord. Just get these folks to hear the word of God. But they can't hear, they can't see, and they can't enter into the kingdom of God because they have no spiritual life. They're dead to spiritual things. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. They have no spiritual life, and they'll never call upon the name of the Lord. They'll never believe upon the name of the Lord. You'll never convince them that the Lord is the Lord of glory and the only hope that they have in this life and the life to come. I'll assure you of that. Only God has the power to do that. Those who call upon the name of the Lord and the Lord saves are those who've been born of the Spirit of God. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 10. Let's see. Verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. But it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed it unto us by his Spirit. Getting tongue-tied. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. In other words, if the Spirit of God isn't in you, you know no things of God. You desire no things of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God, in Psalms 53. The man who calls upon the name of the Lord is a man who's been born of the Spirit of God. A man who heard that call, the effectual call, not a call that he could, take it if he wanted it, leave it if he wanted it. It was effectual. Jesus said, when I call, they'll hear and they'll come forth. Verily, verily, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. When he gives them that life-giving voice, they hear. And they call upon the name of the Lord. They've been given the measure of faith when they were born of the Spirit of God, an intrinsic faith, to believe on him, a faith that does not waver. The faith that comes by hearing and by the Word of God is an outward extension of that faith. It began with the intrinsic faith, the measure of faith that God put in your heart and in your soul when you were born of his Spirit. Now we grow in grace and knowledge. We learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the ability to call upon his name. We're to add to that faith. We're to grow and become stronger in that faith. We're told over in 1 Peter, or 2 Peter chapter 1 it is. Notice these folks here. This is an amazing thing. When you listen to what I spoke of this morning, it says, Simon Peter, in the first verse, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. We know who Peter was. To them. This is who he's writing to. Most people believe the Bible is written to the Adamic world, meaning all of Adam's race. And if they can read the Bible, if they can hear the Bible, then they can call upon the name of the Lord and they can be saved. But the Bible makes it clear they can't hear, they can't see, they don't desire, they can't enter in unless they're firstborn of the Spirit of God. Peter said to them, he said, I'm writing to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He didn't write this particular letter or any of the Word of God to them who are void of the Spirit of God. He wrote it to those who had attained like precious faith. And we get down there and it says, and besides this, giving all diligence in verse 5, and all speed, it says, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. You know, we talk about knowledge a lot. We're to grow in grace and knowledge. Our faith is to become stronger and stronger. If we're to keep the faith, we have to become stronger in our faith. We can become weaker in our faith. The Bible clearly states that. We can draw back. We can fall away. And our faith will become weak. And when the troubles and the storms of life come, life becomes much harder. Much more difficult. God's people will not have the assurances in their heart that they once had if they don't keep on keeping on. And like I said, the fight's not easy. He says, add to knowledge temperance, self-control. You know, when we're fighting a fight, we need self-control, do we not? We need to understand who we're fighting against and what we're fighting against. The powers of darkness in this world, and some of that resides in every one of us. And to knowledge, temperance, self-control. And to temperance, patience. That's endurance. To endure. When the going gets tough, we need to continue to endure. Because God is faithful. Remember what the author in Hebrews 10 said? Let us hold fast to our profession of faith, not wavering. Because he is faithful that promised. God has never broken a promise. He's kept every promise that he made. He's been faithful, and he'll be faithful unto the end in delivering every one of us. Every one of our bodies will come out of the grave and go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, unto godliness, brotherly kindness, and to the brotherly kindness, charity. And he says, for if these things be in you and abound, this is where we talk about a faith that gets stronger, not weaker. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. It is my prayer that we'll all fight a good fight. And as we go down through the journey of life, we know from the teaching of God's word, people are going to fall away. Because that fight can get to be a hard fight. It can get harder and harder as life goes on. More distractions, more personal preferences, more temptations. The fight will always be there. It'll never end in this natural journey upon the earth. You'll be fighting against it all your life. But one day you will finish your course. You will complete it. We're all going to complete our course when we die up on this earth, when we close our eyes in death. Really, death has no power over us anymore. We just die for a moment and our eyes open in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. I'll tell you, the older I get, the more forward I look to it. I really do. There was a time in my life, I wouldn't have said that. Me and Brother Keith and Brother Darrell were talking this morning, and it's just when you look around at the world in which we live and the things which are going on, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When we look unto a day where there will be no more sorrows, where God's people will not be, their minds will not be on all the things of this world. They'll be on Him. I'll promise you, when you gather in heaven in the presence of Jesus Christ, you won't be worried about what's going on over here and over there or anywhere else. It'll be a focus like you've never had. It'll be a peace and a joy and a love like you've never had. Paul knew that. And I believe God's word teaches us that. I encourage you to fight a good fight. Not to yield to the flesh. Not to yield to the temptations of Satan, because they're out there. And I've yielded to them more often than I'd like to admit in my life. I'm no different than anyone else. We're all sinners and we've all come short of the glory of God. We're all going to finish our course. But the question I ask today is, can we say, as Paul said, I've kept the faith. I've continued on. You know, I've heard people say, well, I don't like what you're preaching today. Maybe I don't like the preacher anymore. I don't know, whatever it is. And I don't go to church anymore. I don't like what they do. Well, I'm going to tell you a little story. That's an excuse. That's all that is. There was a time in John chapter 6 when Jesus preached a sermon. And the sermon was salvation by grace. And the people, the disciples, many of his disciples said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Now, this is the greatest preacher that ever preached, with the most perfect message that there ever was. Now, I'm not that way. I've got flaws. My messages are not perfect. Matter of fact, a lot of times they're not worth preaching. But I'll tell you what, the man Christ Jesus, when he preached, when he spoke, his messages were perfect and should have been heard by every word should have been heard by those that were assembled. But many of his disciples said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? We know it's about salvation by grace then, but do we know anybody today who says that's a hard saying? Or, I don't like what the man said. That's what they said about Jesus. I don't like what he preached. I don't like what he said. We go on down there and it says, from that time forward, many of his disciples went and walked with him no more. You don't think there are people, even disciples of Christ, that don't keep the faith? He came to the 12 and he says, will you also leave? This wasn't me preaching. This wasn't another brother preaching in another church. This was the greatest preacher that ever lived, the Lord Jesus Christ. What I'm telling you is, human nature has never changed. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, we try to justify what we do. And I tell you, the fight is hard. The fight was hard then for them brethren. It's hard for many brethren today. But we do have one thing that we can be thankful for. Aren't you thankful that your discipleship and your faith is not what gets you to heaven? That if you get there, you get there solely on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work. But I encourage you to keep the faith, because he's promised you grand and glorious things to come in our lives. And to keep the faith, we have to be like Abraham. We have to be like Noah. We have to live life above the sun, as Solomon would say. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? He doesn't have any. Life void of God and the Lord Jesus Christ for the child of God is a life of vanity. It's empty. It's not fulfilled. And I'm convinced that every child of God who's born of the Spirit, their soul yearns down deep inside for fellowship with the Lord. One day we'll have continuous fellowship with Him. But I believe our souls yearn for that fellowship. And oftentimes, we who draw back are trying to find that fellowship with, and that happiness and that peace in the world that only God Himself can give. I encourage you to fight a good fight. Because if you hadn't had those problems as of today, you'll have them going forward. We all do. I have them. You'll have discouragements. You'll have adversity. You'll have afflictions. Those are things that come to us in life. But as those brethren who were put down in the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, they were given there as examples for us that there have been many men who kept the faith that had adversity, had afflictions, and they kept on keeping on. And when they come to the end of their way, they could say with Apostle Paul, I have kept the faith. It is my hope and prayer that each one of us will keep the faith. I want you to know it won't be easy. Never has been easy. Matter of fact, sometimes the longer you live, the harder it gets. But I pray that we'll all keep the faith and we'll all keep on keeping on. I thank you for your attention this morning, and may God richly bless you. And like I said, until we meet again, may we be faithful unto His cause, pray and pray for one another, and look for the Lord to diligently be involved in your lives. He is active in our lives.